This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good Friday morning to you again. The draft coming up this weekend. More picks, more analysis. But boy, what a fun night last night in Las Vegas. Said this in the last hour, I think a lot of teams did really, really well. There are only a handful that really maybe reached or super reached for their picks. But I think overall, I think a lot of people are excited. I mean, you can go all the way down to a player like Kaiir Elam out of Florida, who the Bills got with their 23rd pick moving up to get him. And he gets graded an A in that particular situation. Even an offensive tackle, Tyler Smith of Tulsa, out of the AAC, the Dallas Cowboys get him. And they like him because of his versatility. You go all the way down. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa was a steal at 25 for the Baltimore Ravens. An absolute steal. So these were picks that even in the latter part of the draft last night, were getting some serious good grades for the teams. So there were a few, again, don't get me wrong, there were a few reaches. I mean, some people didn't like the Steelers taking Kenny Pickett when Malik Willis was on the board. But for the most part, the overall feeling were that there were a lot of teams who did really, really well. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up, and we'll continue our analysis of the first round of the draft. But we'll also get into the NBA playoffs last night, because as good as some of these series were in the opening round, they have now come to an end. As fun as the New Orleans Pelicans were, their story for this season is now over. The Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks series is over. And Bojan Bogdanović is never going to forget a wide open three that he had. I mean, a wide open, no one is coming, no one is guarding. The defender left after trying to make a block and you faked him out. Wide open three that missed that would have won the game six and put it into a game seven. And the Philadelphia 76ers, they won by 35 points against the Toronto Raptors after losing the last two games of the series. They had all five starters in double figures, and now we'll go up against the Miami Heat, who've been sitting around after they dispatched the Atlanta Hawks earlier this week. If Philadelphia continues to play like this, they're going to the NBA Finals. But the question is, can they play like that consistently? We will get to that, but more on the opening round of the draft and, of course, the good, the bad, and the dumb, which is coming up next at Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, more in from round one of the draft from last night, but it is the Friday edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb. We're getting into the weekend right. What is the good of the day?
Good of the day? Good, bad, dumb, a little heavy on the draft.
Okay.
Related, because, I mean, let's face it, that was the king yesterday.
King sure was.
But so the good of the day was how well Vegas did the draft.
Yeah, they did a great job.
I mean, there were showgirls, there were little side acts going on. But my favorite part probably came from Chris Angel.
Oh, yeah. I saw this. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, and, you know, I could have easily put this in the dumb, because when I see things like this, it reminds me of how much I don't understand magic.
Okay.
So what Chris Angel did is that he accurately predicted the top three picks. He put them on a piece of paper. He put that paper into a treasure chest, if you will. Locked it and suspended it above the game day crew. And then after the third pick was announced, came back, unlocked the box, and showed that on that piece of paper, he had accurately predicted the first three picks.
So now, did anybody break down the video for sleight of hand where he replaced the paper with a new paper?
No one has done that. And that's what I'm thinking he had to have done. But the only problem is that it was a big piece of paper that had one crease down the middle.
Ooh.
So I don't know. That's where it gets me, is like, all right, it has the one crease down the middle. I don't know sleight of hand that well.
Right.
That if it's a big piece, and when I say a big piece of paper, I'm talking like, this is a big piece of paper.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So this seemed like legitimate sorcery.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal, right? You had a 50-50 chance with the first two. The first two picks. Yeah, you kind of knew Aiden Hutchinson was going.
I see where you're going, but I think this was a trick. Like, I don't think he accurately predicted the three picks in the draft.
Think the game day crew was in on it? Because maybe that's why I don't understand magic.
Okay, he didn't take a chance and like, okay, I hope it's going to be, you know, the top three picks, right? That it was going to be Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, and Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
I think he somehow, some way, he took a right list and replaced it for the list that was
or
in
had
the box.
Maybe he had multiple lists in there.
Yeah, maybe.
And,
yeah, whatever.
You know, chose tab three.
Right.
To slide it out.
Yeah.
I mean, that very well could be. All I know is this. Since he accurately predicted, he is going after Mel Kiper's job. He said that himself.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should. Exactly. So, now, if David Blaine was suspended in a block of ice.
Yeah, above Vegas.
And on his chest was tattooed the top three picks of the draft, then I would consider it witchcraft.
Or that they're aliens. I'm slowly being convinced that magicians are really aliens.
Yeah, they could be. They could be. They're like I used to like that show that Penn and Teller did, Fool Us.
Yeah.
Because if you could fool Penn and Teller, then you probably are a warlock. Because Penn and Teller are like
they know it all.
They know everything. I Penn Jillette one time said to a woman, this was one of the best quotes about magicians that I've ever heard. He said to a woman, he said, "What do you do for a living?" And she said, "I'm an accountant." And he goes, "So you spend a lot of time with numbers?" "Yes." "Would you say you spend 8 to 10 hours a day with numbers?" "Yeah." And he goes, "And every day you get better at those numbers, making those numbers work, making those numbers, you know, work for the company?" "Yes." "Teller and I, we do nothing but trying to take a cup ball up our sleeve for 8 hours a day." He goes, "That's all we do. We take a trick and we do it for months and months every day, 8-9 hours a day to get it right." And then when you put it in that perspective, it's like, I get it. These guys really know their craft, right? So when you have a magician that comes up and they go, "Oh my God, I don't have no idea." It's like, you're fooling two guys that have just, they know the industry inside and out. They know every trick in the book. They know how everything is done in the book. But there are some magicians, man, where I go, that you're right. They're an alien. They're like legitimate wizards.
Yeah.
Like I'm expecting Hogwarts and Dumbledore and
somehow,
wands
for me, like especially with the, you know, different tricks. I swear to God, these guys have the ability to freeze time. And not only freeze time for, you know, when you're watching it on TV, but freeze time around the world to do this trick real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Or their flash. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I had kind of forgotten about Chris Angel until I saw the video.
Yeah, me too.
He was a big deal nationally for a while. He had specials and
oh man, he walked across two buildings.
Exactly. And then he sort of disappeared. I know he has a Vegas act and whatnot, but he kind of disappeared on the national scene. But same with David Blaine. David Blaine's kind of stopped doing the stunts. Huh?
He comes up and then he goes away. Then he comes up and he goes away. You know, David Blaine bothers me because it's a lot of depression.
Yeah,
the way he talks. You know,
I agree.
He says, "Oh, I'm going to do this trick, and you know, I don't
know.
You
want to take a card?
I might die from it." And I'm like, I don't want that. I want my magicians to be happy.
Eight of Hearts. Yeah. Remember when remember we went to Harrison Ford's house and Harrison Ford kicked him out?
Yeah.
He was like so spooked by the trick. I think it was when he pulled a card out of an orange.
Right.
Yeah.
An unpeeled orange.
That's right. An unpeeled orange. You just cut the orange and the card was in the orange.
Yeah. Those I don't get.
I don't either. What's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Did not have a pick in round one.
I think he was enjoying the draft. Somehow, for whatever reason, there was a press conference, or maybe he was just, you know, being asked questions by the media. This came during the Patriots pick.
Of Cole Strange?
Of Cole Strange.
Okay.
And Sean McVay decided to throw, I'm going to say, a little shade towards Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Have a listen for yourself.
Really, really?
Just went.
Oh, my, UT Chattanooga to the first round. Hey, where is...
How about that? And we wasted our time watching him thinking he'd be at 104, hey. Maybe.
I just feel like this might be, I don't know,
challenging the beast. Why did Bill Belichick do this to this kid?
I don't know.
Why? Because seriously, like, it's this kid, all he wanted to do was play professional football. Bill Belichick made him a first-round pick, and now everyone is saying how much he stinks.
I mean, how quick, I mean, Sean McVay just was like, I thought he was going to be available at 104. Why did I waste time watching film on this kid?
Exactly. That's great.
So, yeah, I mean, it's bad. I feel bad for Cole Strange. Good for him for getting picked.
Good for him for getting picked. And, I mean, it'll probably be, I guess smart people won't be blaming him. I mean, he is what he is. They'll wonder about the Patriots.
But let me ask you this, would it surprise you if he came out being the top prospect?
No, not at all. Like seriously, like, if he's one of the guys where you're like, Cole Strange did a great job in his 5 years in New England, like, you'd be like, okay, yeah, because the system works there. He's got good coaches.
Yeah.
They'll coach him up. He'll get his opportunities. He'll watch that film. If he's committed to his work ethic, he'll get better. He'll try to get better. They'll you know, they see enough in him to think he's got raw talent to go through. But, you know, here's my problem. This is my problem now. It's on me, because every time I say things like, you know, when Alabama plays, like, I don't know, Chattanooga, well, now they had a first-round draft pick. So I better pick my new SoCon doormat that I'm going to have to bury,
right?
When I compare them, when I say these big schools playing the small schools, I can't use my standard Chattanooga because Cole Strange was a first round draft pick.
Does Chattanooga, are they obligated to put a statue up of Cole Strange today?
If he wins a Super Bowl, do they? Well, I don't know, because why would the name Terrell Owens went to Chattanooga?
Did he?
Yeah.
All right.
So he's their prominent, you know, superstar.
He's their Hall of Famer.
Mock athlete. So if Cole Strange does well, you could have two of them. I don't even know if they have a statue.
I don't think
of Terrell Owens.
I doubt they do.
Outside the Finley Stadium in Chattanooga.
They probably don't have, you know, it's not called, they don't have like a Terrell Owens Athletic Center, do they?
Terrell Owens Field or anything. They don't have that. But maybe Cole Strange goes, what T.O. will, you know, what he won't do, I will. I'll invest all my money back into the school to build better facilities.
Or maybe they combine the two and go T.O. Strange.
That's right. Yeah. Strange T.O.
Strange T.O.
However you want to put it. Exactly. So, all right. So,
what's the
dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is actually kind of awesome. The only reason why I put in the dumb, because I fear either repercussion or copycats.
Okay.
Okay. So the San Jose Sharks are playing against the Golden Knights.
Were they?
Yes, they were. Right. And the Sharks had a hidden message to its fans on the Jumbotron. And this message read, "Fans unite. Celebrate. Keep the hockey energy kicking. Now imbibe generously. Honor the Sharks." The hidden message is if you look at each of the first letter of each word,
right,
it spelled out blank the Knights.
Oh, God.
Which is awesome. But I fear now, I mean, you know, don't mess with Vegas and the Golden Knights of what they're going to be able to do on their ice.
Right.
You know, before a game.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Or that another team might copycat this message and go, oh, you know.
That's a great point. No, you just made a really good point. Nobody does these pregame shows better than the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nobody. Maybe the Kraken.
Kraken's done pretty well. I gotta admit, the Kraken's got some pretty good pre-ice shows.
But Vegas, I mean, Vegas is Vegas. That's what they're known for. I mean, I think if I went to a hockey game in Vegas, it would probably be, I don't know if I would stay through the whole thing. I would just say, I'm here for the show.
Was Vegas the one where they had the guy, the knight, fighting something, and then the ice was breaking and like, fell?
The floor became lava.
The floor became lava and everything. Remember, was that not amazing?
And apparently
absolutely
that's before
amazing.
Every game.
Oh, It's amazing.
So, yeah, but I fear, you know, I'm not sure what the repercussion's going to be because, you know, you just can't go saying blank the Knights. Yeah.
You know, that town, it's not surprising. That town has a lot of creative people that are that are available. And when I was working with the Las Vegas Silver Bandits, we had a guy on staff, and his job was to book halftime and pregame acts, like just to be to complete like this sort of entertainment, you know, entertainment night for people who came out to watch pretty crappy basketball. But nevertheless, like we had a lot of great talented people come in and do a variety of different things. And the creativity of the people we were able to hire with like lighting and smoke and just variety of different things was incredible. It felt like every other person in the city had some sort of experience in showmanship, if you will.
Yeah.
And so when that team got there, they probably have the creme de la creme of people trying to put together.
Oh,
these,
my God.
You know what I mean?
It being the first professional team in Vegas.
Top of the line people like putting up graphics and everything. They're great.
They're pulling like sound guys from Penn and Teller.
Absolutely.
Or the electrician or the lighting guy from Siegfried and Roy. They're like, we're bringing everybody. You know, we're taking a piece from everybody and we're going to make the most spectacular stage show before an actual game.
It's great. It's absolutely great. So, all right. Well, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll get more into the draft. We'll also get into the NBA game sixes last night. There were three of them. And guess what? None of them are going to game seven. We'll have that as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, as we continue to look at round one of the NFL draft, also the NBA last night had three games. No fault of their own. I mean, they you know what? It's not like the draft snuck up on anybody.
They didn't stand a chance.
They didn't stand a chance last night. I watched a lot of the draft, and I tried to follow on my phone because I was at a draft party. I tried to follow the games, and then I just couldn't. I like nobody in the room that I was with. Those were like four or five buddies. We all just kind of hung out. I felt like none of them were watching had any interest in the NBA. Like none of them had any interest in where the games were going last night.
None.
And it was just all, and again, it wasn't like they were glued to the draft, but look at what the draft is compared to what the NBA playoff games were last night. And again, this is no knock on the NBA. They're playoff games. They're important. Those were game sixes. Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Dallas all winning on the road, all advancing to round number two. But the event of the NFL draft is a mammoth event on our sports calendar. It really is. Whether you are like me and just sort of go, well, we'll see. I'm not going to go crazy. Well, you know, all of these things, some work, some don't, some pan out, some don't. I'm not going to go nuts. Or you're like Michael Wilbon, for example, who thinks the whole process is ridiculous because there's no real science to the grading. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It is a major event. And it's been that way for a long time. So you're right. The NBA, it could sell you the greatest matchups, but it didn't stand a chance to what last night and had on the table.
I'll say this. I agree with Michael Wilbon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why the draft is so huge.
I'm with you.
But
I'm totally
I can't not watch it.
Yep.
That's the issue. I mean, I would much rather watch the draft than I would NBA playoffs last night.
There is nothing. It is nothing but speculation. It is nothing. Look,
we have no idea.
It's the one. Listen, it's the one event, right, where guys like Mel Kiper are running the show, right? They're look, if you're Troy Aikman, right, and you are broadcasting the Super Bowl or Tony Romo or whoever, you're an analyst, right? You prepare for everything that you can prepare for, right? So at the beginning of the game, Jim Nance goes, Romo, what are the keys to the game? And Romo goes, well, I think that the Rams, if they're going to win this game, they got to make sure that Matt Stafford throws 40 times and they're going to have to do this and they got to get four turnovers at least because that Cincinnati Bengals team, blah, blah, blah. And he just lists all of his keys, right? Let's say he does that. Let's say the games played, not one of them comes true, right? The Rams don't win with 40 pass attempts, and they don't win the turnover battle, and they don't do X, Y, and Z, and they don't win. You go, oh, Romo got it all wrong. When Kiper and McShay get it wrong, it's just like, well, what did you think? Like, they're not, they can't predict this.
Yeah.
Like Romo is supposed to predict the way a game is supposed to go. But Kiper and McShay, they don't have to get this right.
Not
because
for all
in
we
the
know.
End, there's 100 factors as to why a player makes it or breaks it.
I mean, for all we know, Trayvon Walker could go down as the greatest player in NFL history.
Absolutely.
And we were all like, God, that's a reach of a pick.
It
on from the combine on, and you know, or from the national title game on. And Agent Hudson said, what if he ends up being a bust?
Yep.
I mean, that's the science. I mean, I will always look back and think, you know, hey, Peyton Manning was a good pick. The Chargers won just having Ryan Leaf fall into their lap.
Right.
And I'll stand by that. That's how I felt, what was that, 98? That's how I felt that day. I was like, this is fantastic.
Right, and then you get a guy like Khalil Mack, who's better than, who was drafted ahead of him? It wasn't Clowney, was it? When Khalil Mack got drafted, there was another defensive player that was drafted ahead of him, but everyone was like, yeah, well, he ended up the best player in the draft. That happens a lot, right? Where you know, your conventional wisdom is, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be for this particular player, and it doesn't work out. But the NFL was smart. The NFL was really, really smart, because even though these picks are the story, there's no question. They didn't hide. I mean, they're not trying to – I'm not trying to tell you that the NFL made last night a celebratory event about the league. They didn't. They made it about the players, okay? But they coded it in so much about the league that in the end, it doesn't really matter if Aiden Hutchinson becomes a Pro Bowl player or he gets injured in week two and we never hear from him again. Or it doesn't matter if the New York Giants, who got 2 A-pluses, if neither one of those guys makes an impact on the Giants 4 years from now. Right? We all agree that the talent level for these players are so high and so big that they should make an impact. The Giants should absolutely get tremendous value for the players that they got in that draft. Absolutely, they should. Evan Neal should be a longtime starter, barring injury, on that offensive line for the Giants. Absolutely. Should be a longtime starter. And Kayvon Thibodeau, absolutely, should be a longtime starter, barring injury, for the Giants. Both of those should have long careers in the NFL, Pro Bowl careers in the NFL. They're that talented, and they were graded as such. But the speculatory nature of this, when you cloud it with everybody just loving football, loving the NFL, loving their team, loyal to their team, wanting their team to get better, living on the hope of what this weekend will bring in terms of the young crop of talent, it's a win-win situation for the NFL. It's a win-win. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do that is wrong with this night, because they don't control anything. Like, how many times do we watch a Super Bowl where we go, where we come back on Monday, or we talk about it on Monday, or even that night where we go, that was boring.
Yeah,
that's a boring Super Bowl. Right? That game got out of hand, blowout. Ugh, that was a boring.
Well, we
Super
did that
Bowl.
For
a long time
every year in the '90s.
Right? Yeah, that's right. We do that. Is there ever a boring draft? No, because the draft isn't supposed to be entertaining.
Yeah.
It's a business deal, and they dress it up with so much pomp and circumstance that it's just entertaining by its nature.
And the funny thing is that this one could go down as the boring draft. Last year's was fascinating.
Right, because there was only one quarterback selected.
Yeah.
And it was like it was overloaded with wide receiver and defensive players.
But last year, I mean, you had all the quarterbacks selected. You had wide receivers being paired up with quarterbacks that were already in the league. It was like all these different storylines were great. This one, I mean, there's a few storylines, but we may look back on it like, you know, the 2022 draft, that was kind of boring.
But when I looked at about three people I trust in their grades, I can't remember a draft where A-pluses and A's were given all the way down to like 8 or 9. Like, seriously, like everybody, like, again, Jacksonville, one, the lowest grade I saw for Jacksonville was a B on Trayvon Walker, but most of them were like A-minuses. But Aiden Hutchinson, A+. Daryl Stingley Jr., A. Ahmad Gardner, A. Kayvon Thibodeau, A+. A+ for Ike Ekwonu. I mean, just all the way down. Everybody hit a home run in the top 10.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. All right, there were, again, as we mentioned earlier, three games in the NBA. Philadelphia with a 35-point win over Toronto that ends the Raptors season. I kind of feel good for Doc Rivers so he doesn't have to keep harping on the fact that he was up 3-1 and was on the verge of losing this series. I tell you, if I would have not wanted to be Philadelphia at all going back to Philly for a Game 7 if you got the Raptors winning three in a row. I just wouldn't. But they end it. They win by 35. They had all five starters in double figures. Joel Embiid with the double-double had 33 points last night. Chris Paul, though, was the guy last night. He was 14-14 as Phoenix beat New Orleans 115-109. I swear we gave the station the show curse because we started talking Pelicans earlier this week, and they lost both games. As soon as we gave them the attention that we thought they deserved, they fell in Arizona in Game 5 and then lost at home last night in Game 6.
I'm not putting that evil on us.
Come on now. Come on. I don't know what to make of it. We were all like, hey, look at that. Look at these Pelicans. Whoa, they're fun. They play with a reckless abandon. They're great. Look at them. They're sticking it to Phoenix. Uy.
Last time anyone in New Orleans picks up our phone.
That's right. Exactly. So if we call about the Saints, you better hang up.
What show is it? Oh, no. We're not. I'm busy. I'm washing my hair. Can't join you.
Dennis Allen doesn't need us as a headache. Right, he's already got Jameis Winston. Ha! Dallas last night, they beat Utah and Salt Lake City 98-96. I wasn't surprised by that. I was surprised that it was close. I think once Dallas got Luka back, they were better than Utah was. But Utah was trying to make it interesting, get to a Game 7. And that play at the end of the game, this went back and forth. There's play at the end of the game where Utah had the ball. Well, first of all, Mike Conley had the ball. And then he traveled. He dragged his pivot foot, and he traveled, and they gave the ball up to Dallas. And Dallas goes up by two, and so they foul Dallas, and then Dallas goes up by two. And then Bogdanovich for the Jazz, he has the ball. They get it to him on the wing for a three, and I forget who it was. The defender for the Dallas comes in, and he overruns the play. And Bogdanovich has a wide open. He comes off a screen, and he's wide open. He fakes out his defender, who goes into the crowd. He is wide open. He's more on the corner, I should say. He's not really on the wing. He's not really on the baseline either, so he's kind of a couple steps up from the baseline. The defender goes into the crowd. Bogdanovich has a wide open three. Wide open, just like practice. Wide open. Nobody's there. Misses it. Rims out. Done. Dallas advances. They go on to the next round. So the Philadelphia 76ers will take on the Miami Heat. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Dallas and Phoenix now are going into round number two. So that should be really, really fun. Golden State advance. They get the winner of the Memphis-Minnesota series. Game 6 of that series is tonight. In the East, you've got Philadelphia going up against Miami, and the Celtics will take on Milwaukee. So the only game left in round one is Minnesota and Memphis, and that game is tonight. So there you go in the NBA playoffs in round number one. I thought the first round was really good. I have to tell you, these games were interesting. They had some storylines that ended up not mattering, right? Chris Middleton being out for the Bucks. Whoa. And then the Bucks just won three straight and took down the Chicago Bulls, eliminated them rather quickly. Devin Booker is out. Oh, Phoenix is in some trouble. Well, they advance, in six games. Luka Doncic is out. Does Jazz get momentum in this series? Well, they won two games without Luka. In fact, when Luka came back, they lost game four. So it wasn't like he propelled them enough. But when he finally got rolling along, Dallas was in control of that series. And Philadelphia, scary. Joel Embiid's got a thumb. He's sprained thumb. He's going to play with this all the way through the postseason. He'll get surgery after the playoffs. Here comes Toronto. They're too scary. Now, six games, they're out. So, I thought the first, there were some interesting storylines in the first round. But we get to the semifinals. And so I'm trying to think. I don't think we have any lower seeds kicking around. Dallas was a four seed. Phoenix advanced. Golden State advances. Now, if Minnesota can keep this series alive, they would be one. But in the East, you've got Miami and Philadelphia. That's the 1-4 matchup. And Boston and Milwaukee, that's the 2-3 matchup. So everybody on the bottom of four on down, with the exception of Minnesota, who's got a chance, could still be in this thing. So we shall see in round number two. So, but yeah, it was good. It was a good first round. It was still a fun first round, despite no real underdogs making a presence.
No, it really was. I mean, you know, most first rounds are kind of boring. Most first rounds are either a sweep or, you know, maybe it's a 5-1 or, you know, like we saw, or 4-1 win or 4-0, 4-2 win. But in those, when it's like that, even though we had a bunch of 4-2 wins, a lot of times the games aren't even close.
Yeah.
They're lopsided, you know, and the home team just keeps getting the win. And, you know, like the team that the lower seed team that finally hosts the home game, they show up and win by 15 or 20. I mean, they're never that entertaining. And I feel like, yeah, we've had a whole bunch of entertaining games. I mean, if we really think about it, Celtics Nets was probably the least entertaining, but the storyline was just too fascinating.
That was you're right. Like, that was the least entertaining because it was a sweep, but the storylines came out stronger in that one than I think in any of the other series that were in the first round. Because of, again, this is Brooklyn. They're talented. They're too talented to get beat like this. They were close in game one. They, you know, close in game four. Like, they didn't get over the hump. Who's to blame, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many ways that you could have broken down that series. But I also think, like, the playoffs here, you know, the NBA is built on its star power, right? The star power of this league is extremely important. It's not the logos. It's the star power, right? You watch for certain players. You know, LeBron is not in the playoffs anymore. You know, he didn't make the playoffs this year. Kevin Durant isn't in the playoffs. But Steph Curry is. Luka Doncic is, right? I mean, Chris Paul is.
Giannis.
You know, Giannis is, right? Joel Embiid and James Harden are still in this thing, right? Jimmy Butler is still in this thing. I still think there's some... yes, LeBron moved the needle for a long, long time, right? There was a lot of... Whether you loved him or hate him, people watched to see what would happen to LeBron in the postseason.
And is that kind of a detriment to the league? Like, you know, if you project, like, 20 years down the road, or even, I guess even now, because... NFL, you know, I'm not going to a game because Tom Brady is playing.
Right.
You know, although it'd be great to see him, or Aaron Rodgers, it'd be great to see him. But I'm going there because I want to see a team play against team.
Yeah, there is something about that league, the NFL, where, again, because every game is very valuable.
Yeah.
Right. Given there's not very many of them, but you are watching logo versus logo. Right. That's really kind of what it is. Right.
And basketball I know for a fact, because, you know, growing up in L.A., you couldn't afford Laker tickets,
right,
but you could afford Clipper tickets. And the way the Clippers sold their tickets was like, hey, we got a 6-game package, 8-game package, 10-game package. Come and see LeBron play.
Yeah, exactly.
Come see the Cavaliers play. It was come see LeBron play.
And in a way, you know, as despicable as Donald Sterling, you know, is, that's a great way to market a team you're trying to be cheap with.
Yeah.
Right? Like you take Michael Olakande, for example. You're like, you know, you get these picks and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, the Clippers kept striking out. You couldn't afford to see LeBron play the Lakers, but you can get the same seats at half the price seeing the LeBron play the Clippers.
Yeah.
Same arena.
Yeah, I know there were a few, I don't want to say celebrities who could afford it, but there were a lot of, like, media people that I knew who lived in L.A. that were Clipper season ticket holders because they liked basketball, and it was affordable.
It was affordable.
They were affordable tickets, and they could see, one, they could see their favorite teams come into town, especially if their teams were in the Western Conference and they visited frequently. But, again, you're just going to see basketball just to see basketball. It's kind of, you know.
And I feel like, you know, baseball is trying to jump on that now, too.
Well, the Rockies used to do that. When I was out when the Rockies were terrible, that's how they did it. They would say, like they would have premium games and, you know, these next level games. And, you know, you want to see Barry Bonds and the Giants, you have to buy it in this package. You know, the Cubs, they used to kind of joke about Wrigley Field West because Chicago fans would pour into Coors Field. Those were the same thing. They were on another level of pricing, you know, and that was kind of it. And I went to a lot of Rockies games where nobody was in the stands. I went to a lot of Rockies games where... Because these were the years when they were terrible, and it would be like full, and you'd be like, I know why it's full. It's full because he's here or they're here or whatever, you know, whatever that may be, right? I mean, I'll never forget when the first time I went when the Red Sox came to town. It was the first game I went to Coors Field when the Red Sox were there. I thought it was at Fenway Park. I was like, this is nuts. This is absolutely crazy. Like, it was, I mean, you didn't know how many Red Sox fans were in Colorado or how many people just went, screw it, let's go out to Colorado for the weekend in July. Go see 3 Rockies games. Go see the Red Sox. Be a nice trip out west, you know, that kind of thing. Who knows? But it was
filled with Red Sox fans. And so, you know, that you're right. That's how you market it. But I think you're right. You go back to the thing about detrimental. Yeah, because if you lose those key players, what exactly are you selling? Because you haven't been trying to sell that before, right? I think in the NFL does it right, right? They sell you your passion for the logos, but even if your two teams aren't playing, you can still find the matchups intriguing because of players and schemes and teams and level of importance. And when you get great performances from those players, that's an extra bonus, but you don't necessarily need certain players to play. Like if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are playing, the Buccaneers and Tom Brady, you want Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady to play, but you don't necessarily need Rob Gronkowski to play. You don't necessarily need Tyreek Hill, who's no longer there, but you don't necessarily need him to play. You've got this sort of thing. In the NBA, if you lose Luka, right, you can't. Jalen Brunson's a great player, but you can't sell him. He's not on this superstar level, right? It becomes harder to convince people to tune in to a Dallas Mavericks game. And that's no knock on Jalen Brunson. He's great, but he's not Luka great. We know that he's not Luka great. Like, we know the players that are on the upper echelon, right? And in these playoffs, that is Giannis, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, and Jimmy Butler in the East, right? It's Steph Curry, it's Klay Thompson, it's Chris Paul, it's Luka Doncic, it's Ja Morant, right? If the Memphis Grizzlies advance, those are the elite athletes. If they're out for whatever reason, it's very hard to sell those series to get the average person to go, I'll settle in and watch this, even though they're valuable games. They matter in the long run. Who's going to be a champion? All right, again, we'll get back to the NFL draft as we continue. A lot to really kind of process as your thoughts as well on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we wind down hour number two, we'll get more into the NFL draft in hour number three. In fact, we've got a new guest. I don't think we've ever had this guy on before, right? Trevor Sycamore?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Pro Football Focus? You would know more than me, because I forget. There are times when we've had guys on five or six times. I'm like, is he new? And you're like, no, we had him on like a month ago. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
Now, I don't know if we've had this guy on.
I don't think we've had Trevor Sycamore on before. Pro Football Focus will join us, give you a little bit more details on the draft. Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't know if you saw this. It caught my eye at my friend's house last night. So the Giants were picking, and they sent out a young man who was overly excited to be there, right? And for good reason, because he had heart surgery, he was a Make-A-Wish kid, and he survived, and he was a very uplifting story, really uplifting story. But his enthusiasm for New York Giants football was through the roof, and it was very cool. It was very neat. And Thibodeau got picked, and Thibodeau, who has had some, like, there was questions of his character that kind of got blown out of proportion. So he was probably like, hey, I did it. All right. I heard all the stuff about me. I did it, though. I'm a top five pick in the draft. And he went to Goodell, and he did the hand thing. He was trying to do some hand thing with Goodell. But then when he got to that kid was so excited, and he was so excited back. It was a great, great moment. It was just a really, really cool moment. For that kid to be on that stage representing his football team and the draft, picking his player, and for that player and him to share an awesome moment like that, Thibodeau he might be one of my favorites now for that. It was fantastic. And good for that kid too. If the NFL ever invites you to name, for whatever reason, you know, you get a chance to go on stage, be as energetic as that kid was for the New York Giants, because you ain't getting a second chance to do that. I thought he nailed it. Thibodeau nailed the response. It was great. Really, really cool. So a really good moment.
Yeah, it was a feel good. I mean, it gave you all the fuzzy warms or the warm fuzzies.
It was really neat. A lot of good looking families, though, last night.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Hutchinson family stole the show.
Yeah.
Mom's looking good. Then you see the two sisters, and, you know, I reserve the right to say anything about them just in case one of them is under the age of 18.
I have a confession to make, and I don't, this is going to seem a little creepy. I was wondering who the woman was behind Kenny Pickett. There was Kenny Pickett's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple behind him, and she was very attractive. And every time they showed Kenny Pickett, I'm like, who's that? Is that an aunt? Is that a girlfriend of a friend? Like, who is she? And they never, you know, he never even acknowledged them in his celebratory, call. So I was like,
no, and you know what? I hate Twitter.
Yeah.
Because there was a photo going around on Twitter of Aiden Hutchinson's girlfriend looking very upset.
Oh, okay.
Because then this was before the selection, obviously.
Right.
Because he kept slipping. And so all the comments were like, oh, she's realizing she's not getting the top 10 money now. She's realizing this. She's realizing
Wait
that.
Wait a minute. Aiden Hutchinson? He went not second Aiden,
I'm sorry. Not, no, Kenny Pickett. Sorry.
Oh, Kenny Pickett. Yeah, okay. Kenny Pickett. Okay.
Yeah, there was a photo of Kenny Pickett and, you know, the girlfriend just looking upset.
Yeah, right.
But everyone, and then, you know, people were making the comparison of Kenny Pickett to Bo Callahan from the movie Draft Day.
Oh.
And I was just feeling like, man, Twitter can be such an evil place sometimes.
It can. All right, more draft talk as we continue on a Football Friday. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Sports Map Radio. Thanks for listening.